Well, I am very glad to see all of you here this morning. It is delightful to be back with you. It seems like I've not seen you in a while, and that's been the case, many of you, but so glad for us to be able to get back together as we are having this opportunity of worship with one another. And if you are visiting with us, we are thankful that you have come to join us today as well. I do have a couple of things that I want to mention. I do want to remind everyone about Markley Tucker and Brent Anders' congregational wedding shower tonight after our services. And so we're excited about that. Many of you may have not had the opportunity to get to know them. This will be a great opportunity for you to do that. We love Brent and Markley very much. And if you don't mind, please confirm with Patty if you are bringing food so she just makes sure she's got all of her bases covered for this evening as well. But we're looking forward to that celebration tonight as we enjoyed celebrating with Briley and William yesterday and their wedding. And then again in a couple of weeks, we'll celebrate Barkley and Brent's wedding. And then right after that, we'll celebrate Hunter and Julia's wedding. So we're excited about all of these things that are happening here at our congregation at this time. I am thankful to be back from Maywood, but I'm certainly thankful for Maywood and the opportunity that we had to be there last week, and the benefits and the blessings that we derive from that event and that occasion. I did want to kind of give you a little report. I know that Brother Danny mentioned this morning that three of our young people were baptized. We've had four young people baptized here recently in our congregation, and so we're so thankful for that. Brianna Bowers was baptized before we went to Maywood, and while they were at the beach, we're excited for their family, and then we are certainly excited for the three baptisms that we had at Maywood from this congregation. We also had two that responded as well from here, but all total at Maywood, we had 21 baptisms and 17 restorations last week. So we are very thankful for that, and we get an opportunity to come back from Maywood recharged, not necessarily in a physical way, because we're probably pretty tired from the week's exhaustion, but we are spiritually uplifted and encouraged. And so we get to see a little distinction there, as Paul made a distinction about the outward man perishing. Sometimes that outward man gets tired, but the inner man is renewed day by day. And certainly our inner man was renewed by our experiences and our opportunities at Maywood Christian Camp this week. If you have your Bibles and would like to, by the way, Harry, thanks so much for the report that you gave us a few moments ago. It actually fits quite well with my lesson this morning, and so maybe it'll be a benefit to all of us today, the story, to help us relate some things that we need to discuss. If you have your Bibles again, turn to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. I want to tell you what's going on, and then we're going to read verses 25 through 33 together as an introduction to our lesson today. In Numbers chapter 13, beginning in verse 1, the Lord says to Moses that He wants him to select men from all of the different tribes of Israel so that they might be able to go into the land of Canaan and spy that land out. And so Moses does that. He selects men from every one of the tribes of Israel, and he gives them their marching orders, and he says, I want you to go through the land. I want you to spy it all out. I want you to look at the fruit, and I want you to see all of the things that would benefit us as a people from that particular land. And so he sends them off, and they're gone for 40 days. And then they return from spying out that land. Now we pick up in verse 25. At the end of 40 days, they return from spying out the land. And they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, we came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and occupy, for we are well able to overcome it. Then the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we are. So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who came from the Nephilim, and we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them." Now, when you think about this particular passage of Scripture, I want us to understand that Joshua and Caleb, you remember these two, although Joshua is not particularly mentioned in the reading that we just did. He is mentioned as one of the spies that went, and we do know that he brought back a good report along with Caleb. Joshua and Caleb believed that God could do great things through his people. They believed that they were capable at this time to go into the land that they had spied out and occupy that land as God had planned to happen. If you remember, God had said way back during the time of Abraham's life, he had made him a promise that his descendants would occupy that particular land in which he was sojourning. That promise has not come to fruition yet, but God is trying to make it happen. He's trying to send these people, Abraham's descendants, into the land of Canaan to possess it. Now, the reason why Abraham and his family did not possess it before is the Scriptures record the sin of the Amorites was not yet full, but apparently it had gotten full now. And God recognized that these people need to be eradicated because of the wickedness and the sin, and he was going to replace them with Abraham's descendants as he had promised. So they said, "Let's go up. We can do this." They believed that God could do great things through his people. But a lot of the people had excuses. If you go back, you look at some of the excuses that they gave. They said, "These people, they're just too big." We looked at them, and when we walked up to those folks and we saw some of those people that were there, it appeared to us as though we were grasshoppers, and we know that they were looking down on us saying, "Those people are like grasshoppers to us. They were very big. They are very strong. They are too powerful, and they are too entrenched." What do we know about the land at that time? We find out that they had these fortified cities. When you think about the first city that they came to the land to conquer, Jericho, what happened? Walls all the way around it. So these people are entrenched in this land. They've got good defenses. They are powerful people. And they are very, very big. You know, too big, too bad, too entrenched. Those were the excuses. We're like grasshoppers. I don't think we can whip these folks. I don't think we're going to be able to get them out of that land. And have we ever heard this before? And I want us to think about this in relation to ourselves. And I want us to think about this in relation to our quest. You think about the church, and sometimes we make excuses too. We make the excuse that the media is too humanistic. And I think we would say that's true. We say that the entertainment industry is too inappropriate. We say that the behaviors of society are too immoral. We hear people say that the Bible is too irrelevant. It's antiquated. It's just not a good source for us to look to for our guidance today in life. We find that people think that God is too forgotten. Our families in this nation are too fractured. People are too selfish. Now, do you think all of these things are true? As I make this list of things about our nation, do we find these things to be the case? Certainly, the media is too humanistic. Certainly, the entertainment industry is too inappropriate. Certainly, the behaviors of society are too immoral. The Bible seems to be too irrelevant to everyone. God is forgotten. The family's too fractured. People are too selfish. And guess what? I believe that we think in our mind that America is a lost cause. How many of you have kind of felt that way before? Maybe as you have had to deal with the negative things that you read about and that you see, and maybe the direction of things that are going, you probably just say, "You know what? I just don't think there's any hope. America is a lost cause." We've seen this before. We've seen it in history. When nations start beginning to act like this, that's just the beginning of the what? The beginning of the end. But I want to challenge us. want to ask you the question. Do you believe that God can do great things through the church? Do you believe that God can do great things through His people today? The Church of Christ, I was at the Great Smoky Mountain congregation in Gatlinburg a few weeks ago on vacation, and Al Beal, the minister there, many of you may know Brother Beal, he made this statement. He said, the Church of Christ is a sleeping giant. The Church of Christ is a sleeping giant. Now, there's some good about that statement, and there's a lot of bad about it, right? The good is that he does believe that we can have some influence if we want to. There are some things that we can do as God's people, and if we'll allow Him to work through us, there can be some change that happens. But the sad part about it is we are described as a sleeping giant, which means we're not doing the things that we could do that might turn the course of history for our nation, which might help more people to come to the knowledge of the truth. I want you to notice what else he said. He says, now we have more resources than we've ever had. We have more money. We have more people than they had when the church was first established and they went about doing the work that God wanted them to do. We have better facilities and more facilities to be able to house and help to utilize these things for the cause of Christ and to encourage other people. We have more facilities. And not only that, we have the truth on our side. We have the truth on our side. I think the thing that we truly need is we need to get the right spirit about us as God's people. We need to get the right spirit. You know, I'm afraid that folks have convinced themselves that Christianity meets its maturity within these walls. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean by that sometimes we think that Christian maturity is measured by the fact that we don't miss a service. Now, I'm not indicating today that we should do that. I'm not suggesting that you not assemble with the saints regularly and as often as the saints gather to meet here. But I think we use that as the only measure to suggest that a person is mature as a Christian. Oh yeah, they're faithful. They're there every time the doors are open. But to be honest with you, Christianity does not meet its maturity within these walls. It doesn't. And I think that's something that we have to realize. I think it's something that we have to remember. Last week at Maywood, we do what is called questions and answers with the kids. And on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we have a time set aside where we will take questions from the kids, and generally they turn them in a little bit ahead of time so we have an opportunity to think about them and reflect on them and go to the Scriptures and find answers to be able to give these young people. But we don't always get to answer every question, but I was given one question I thought was pretty interesting. The question that I was given was this. If I lived at Maywood year-round and I never brought a single person to Jesus Christ, would I go to heaven? If I lived at Maywood year-round, a place where there are a lot of Christians, well, a place where it's easy to do what I'm supposed to do and to live right and to have these good influences and to worship God and to have a spiritual mind about me there. If I were to live in that kind of environment all year round and I never brought a single person to Jesus Christ, would I go to heaven? And let me tell you, the answer to that question is a resounding no. A resounding no. What does John 15 say? It says that if we are Jesus Christ, we must bear fruit. We must produce fruit. We must produce as Christians, our responsibility as a Christian is to go out and to preach the gospel message and to share that message and to make disciples. That was the command and the directive that Jesus gave. And Jesus said, if you're not out producing and if you're not bearing fruit for me, guess what? You are going to be cut off and you are going to be cast into the fire. If you are not influencing someone, if you are not trying to bring somebody to Jesus Christ right now, now that person may not come, but if you are trying to do that, I believe that there's going to be some result that will happen in a positive way and someone will be brought to Christ because of you. You'll be producing. And if we close ourselves in the church within these walls or within the safe confines of other Christians so that we might be there, not that that's a bad thing, because we are there to encourage and to exhort and to help and to develop one another. But if we don't get outside of these walls and if we don't get outside of our comfort zone of a place where everyone there is doing the right things and wanting to do the right things and reach out to people that are lost, folks, we're not doing what Jesus wants us to do. When you think about the assembling of the saints and participation in that assembly, this is a good developmental program. And that's what it is. When you come to the services of this congregation, it is a developmental program. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, it's educating you in God's Word so that you might be able to go out and share that message, the good news, with other people. You are with other Christians, and so you are gaining the encouragement and the exhortation to go out and to strive to help other people, because we're in this together and we're a team of God's people. We're a family and we're trying to add to the family, and we get that encouragement knowing that there are other peoples with us that believe the way that we do. And then finally, there's the inspiration and the motivation. This is the impact that Jesus has on your life. When you think about Jesus and you think about what all He has done for you in your life, you think about that effect and you want to go out and share the message with others that Jesus died for. And this is preparing us. So every time we come here today, and I know that we get an opportunity to worship, but part of that worship is to help us to be inspired to think about what Jesus has done for us and to praise Him for it and to be grateful for that, and then allow that to develop us and mold us into people that want to serve Him even more. It's a developmental program. And you know what? There's a lot of people that have been putting in a lot of time in development. You know, there's companies that's doing research and development, right? They have branches within their organization and company that are dedicated to this part, do research and development. You know what? You can do research and think about development all the time, and unless you do what? Implement it. It doesn't make any difference. So what am I saying here today? When does this preparation start translating into practice and production for us? When do we move from being hearers to doers, according to James chapter 1? But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For he that is a hearer and not a doer is like a man who looked intently at his natural face in a mirror. And he saw that face and he went away and he forgets what manner of man he is. But whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man will what? Be blessed in his doings, in his deeds. This man will be blessed. When does the development and the preparation of being here at this place start translating into us putting the things that we know and learn into practice and producing for God? When does that happen? Folks, the truth of the matter is, we need people with the heart to do God what God wants us to do. That's the problem. That's why the Church of Christ is a sleeping giant. It's not because we don't have resources and facilities and people and the truth. It's because we don't have the heart, the spirit, to get out there and do it the way that God wants us to. I hope that we'll all be inspired more to live the way that God wants us to live in our life and to start becoming fruitful as His people. Maybe it's time for us to start thinking about someone that needs the gospel and start approaching those individuals and bringing people to Christ and to a knowledge of that. It's not just about me only. It's about us striving to help other people in this world as well. I hope that we'll think about our lives and our souls. I hope that we'll be motivated to make changes if those changes need to take place in our life. We're going to sing an invitation song. I think the invitation song is, "Did you repent? Did you repent?" If you need to come forward and you need to repent of your sins and you need to ask God's forgiveness for how lax we have been as His people when it comes to trying to produce in this world, if we've gotten so consumed with ourselves and our comfort zone and just being within these walls and we've not taken the gospel message out of here, out into the world, we need to repent of that and have an opportunity to respond to that message. If it's the case today that you want to become a Christian, though, you are ready now to dedicate your life to Jesus Christ. You want to be a servant of His and you want to produce in His kingdom. How He can work great things through you. Joshua and Caleb believed that and it was true. If the church would believe that and act on it, we could see some great changes as well in our world and in our society. So if you need to respond to the invitation, we're going to sing an invitation song now. While together we stand.